Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Five thousand years ago, on this planet, in the country of India, there was a princess, the daughter of King Bhishmaka. And saintly persons, such as Narada Muni and others, would visit the palace, and they would describe a person who is known as Krishna. And just by hearing from the saintly persons about Krishna, Rukmini decided he must be her husband. And everybody in the city also thought, yes, Rukmini should be married to Krishna. But Rukmini's brother felt different. Rukmini's brother's name was Rukmi, and he had a demon friend, Shishupal. And he said, no, my sister should be married to my friend Shishupal. Rukmini's father, King Bhishmaka, out of affection for his son, agreed, all right, Rukmini can be married to Shishupal. But he preferred Krishna. But out of affection for his son, he agreed. When Rukmini heard this, she was very much in anxiety. But she was intelligent, after all. She's the daughter of a king. She's a princess. So she did not let her anxiety thwart her intelligence. So she composed a letter. And that letter was given to a brahmana. And the brahmana was to deliver that message to Krishna himself in Dwaraka. Would you like to hear that letter that Rukmini wrote? If you're in favor, say, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! So when the brahmana arrived in Dwaraka to deliver the message to Krishna, this is what that letter said. First thing, Rukmini addresses Krishna as Bhuvana Sundara. Everybody say? That means, O beauty of all the worlds. Having heard about your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear, and your qualities remove bodily distress, and having heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. So, do you agree with Rukmini? Look at Krishna on the altar. Does he have the beauty which fulfills the visual desires of those who see? How many think that Rukmini Dwarkadish are the most beautiful deities in all the three worlds? And not only are they the most beautiful, but they are the most famous. I have traveled around this world, India. I have traveled to South America. You will see pictures of our Rukmini Dwarkadish wherever you go. That's why I've been saying all these years, the most beautiful and the most famous. If you agree, say, Hare Krishna. Rukmini says, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you. So see her humility, shameless mind. Then she says in her letter, O Achyuta, everybody say that name. O infallible one, Then she uses another name, Mukunda. Mukunda means one who gives liberation. She is using select names for Krishna, which give us insight to her feelings, right? So, if Krishna is the infallible, then he won't fail her with her request. He gives liberation. Right now, she is bound up, right? She wants, well, we'll see what she wants. But because of her brother, she's feeling bound up. Oh, you who give liberation, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth, and influence. Now she describes Krishna as Nrisingha. Everybody say. Now she's not referring to Krishna's incarnation of Nrisingha, but she's using this name in terms of that Krishna among men is the lion. No one can defeat, after all. Oh, that's coming up. I won't spoil it. But for now, he is the lion among men. She says, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? Ladies, if you had the choice, would you have selected Krishna as your husband? Yes. Rukmini is saying, what woman is there who would not select Krishna? Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Next name she uses, Vibho. Everybody say, oh, Almighty One, please come swiftly and make me your wife. Let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion. She already addressed him as lion among men, so she's using this example. Don't let this jackal, this Shishupal, take what is your property. Next name she uses, please repeat, Ambujaksha. That means Krishna is known as lotus eyes. In a prayer by Kunti Devi, she says that Krishna has lotus hands, lotus feet, lotus navel, lotus eyes, lotus face. Lotus is the cynosure of flowers. So the comparison of a lotus means that Krishna is excellent. Then she says, if I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, by sacrifices, charity, rituals, and vows, and by worshipping demigods, Brahmins, and gurus, if I have sufficiently done this, then come and take my hand and not Dhammaghosa's son. So, Shishupal is the son of Dhammaghosa. Let not Dhammaghosa take my hand, nor anyone else. Then the next name she addresses, Ajita. Come on, everybody can say. It's not a difficult word. Ajita means that Krishna is unconquerable. If you read the life story of Krishna, and you should read the life story, after all, you are Krishna devotees, you should know about the person that you chant. So if you read his life story, it's only 90 chapters, that's all. But if you read that narration, you'll see that chapter after chapter, Krishna is victorious and he's never defeated under any circumstances. Therefore, Ajita, everyone say. Tomorrow when my marriage ceremony is about to begin. Wow. Talk about short notice. Tomorrow when my marriage ceremony is about to begin. Now see how intelligent Rukmini is. She's now going to tell Krishna how to do everything. So men, when your wives tell you something, it may be for your own good. Because they probably figured it out. Rukmini has it all figured. Look what she says. Tomorrow when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, you should arrive unseen and surround yourself with the leaders of your army. Then crush the forces of Chaitya and Magadendra. Magadendra, that's referring to somebody that Krishna defeated 17 times. You would think he would learn his lesson. 17 times he tried to fight Krishna, and 17 times Krishna defeated his whole army and let him going home wagging his tail. The 18th time, Krishna revealed another pastime called Ranchoraji. Everyone say. It seemed like Krishna fled the battle. It seemed that Krishna was running away, but actually, no. After 17 times, Krishna said, oh, come on. So Krishna was thinking, yes, Krishna knew that Rukmini was going to approach him. So Krishna returned to Dwaraka and was getting ready for this exact event. He knew that Rukmini, and Krishna also wants Rukmini. It's not a one-sided relationship. It's real love. They both want each other. Crush the forces of Chaitya and Magadendra and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor. Rakshasa style means the hero comes, defeats all the opponents, whisks her away, and they live happily ever after. That's exactly what happens. Since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? But I shall tell you a way. On the day before the marriage, there is a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. And in this procession, the new bride goes out of the city to visit goddess Girija. Girija is another name for goddess Durga. Now she uses another name. Oh, she used this before. Ambujaksha. O lotus-eyed one, great souls, like the husband of goddess Uma, that of course is Lord Shiva, hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy ignorance. So it appears Rukmini has great transcendental knowledge. She knows these things. Now here comes something that is very, very instructive. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. So Rukmini was determined. That's, we all need to develop that quality of determination. That no matter what it takes, and in the case of Rukmini, she's saying, even if I have to take birth hundreds of times, I will not stop until I get your mercy. So we should also be determined that we will surrender to Krishna, we will chant Krishna's name and do devotional service life after life after life until we achieve Krishna's mercy. If you like that concept, raise your hand and say, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna.
So after this, hearing this letter, Krishna agreed, yes, I also want to marry Rukmini. So the next day, Rukmini kept looking, but there was no sign of Krishna. So she was getting very worried. It's the marriage day. She was getting very worried. All of a sudden, she started to feel twitching. the left side of her body. That's a good sign. Then she saw the Brahman, and it was like a communication that everything's good. So as she said, they went to the temple of Goddess Girija. And when she was in the temple of Goddess Girija, what did Rukmini pray? She said, "My dear goddess, please arrange my marriage with Krishna." Here is an interesting point. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not like demigod worship. Why? Because he says people who worship demigods, they're worshiping for material things which are limited and temporary. And Krishna says, ultimately, these benedictions are awarded by me. But in this case, what Rukmini is doing is okay. You can worship demigods if your desire is to get Krishna. The gopis, the young gopis, did the same thing. They were worshiping another form of goddess Durga, Katyayini. And each and every one of the gopis, secretly, without letting the others know, for a whole month, they were worshiping, taking a bath in the cold winter of the Yamuna, very cold. And each of them was praying, "I want to be married to Krishna." Every one of them. After all, Krishna is what? All attractive. So, she was praying to Goddess Girija, and as she came out of the temple, there were all these kings and princes, and they were sitting on their big horses, big, powerful Kshatriya kings. And when they saw Rukmini, she was so beautiful, they fell off their horses. These big guys, big, tough guys. That's how beautiful Rukmini is. Stunningly beautiful. All of a sudden, Rukmini saw in the crowd, there was Krishna. Krishna came at that time on his chariot. Everybody had fallen off the horse. Krishna came, took Rukmini on his chariot, and rode off. Shishupal, who's supposed, can't believe what has just happened. And all these other kings, they're like, "What?" And they think that they're going to chase after Krishna and fight him. But Krishna and his forces easily take care. And then they decide, you know what? This is Shishupal's problem, not ours. Let him fight. But meanwhile, we forgot about somebody. Rukmi. Rukmi is very angry. And he looks at Shishupal and all the other kings. "I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to let my sister be carried off by this Krishna. I will bring back..." And he goes, "And if I can't bring back my sister, then I will renounce my kingdom and I will live in a hut and just be like a hermit." So Rukmi chases after Krishna. But because Krishna is Ajita, after some time, there's shooting of arrows, and Krishna defeats Rukmi, and he grabs Rukmi, and he pulls out his sword, and he's about to kill him, but Rukmini falls at Krishna's feet and says, no, please, don't kill my brother." And then Krishna's brother Balaram comes. He's already defeated so many armies and soldiers. And when he sees Krishna in this condition, he chastises his brother. "What are you doing? This is our brother-in-law. You can't kill him." And then he speaks to Rukmini. Rukmini, don't be on the bodily concept of life. Rukmi is getting what he deserves. In this way, Balaram preaches to Krishna and preaches to Rukmini. So, instead of killing Rukmi, Krishna takes his sword and snips at his hair, and snips at his mustache, which is considered to be worse than death, because now he looks like a freak. So Rukmi now has to keep his promise. He renounces his kingdom and he goes and lives, but he returns later on. But that's another story. Not for now, because we got more to talk about. Do you want to hear part two? So after this, Krishna returns to Dwarka. There's a huge wedding ceremony, and they live happily ever after in Dwarka. End of part one. Give me a hand. What do you think? So, after Krishna marries Rukmini, as time goes on, Krishna decides to marry only 16,107 more wives. That's all. He was displaying his opulence of renunciation with only 16,108 wives. But Rukmini was the first. And after they had had children, actually it is said that Krishna had 10 sons with each wife and one daughter with each wife. And each of those sons had 10 sons. Big joint family, India people, you know what I'm talking about. Because there was a section in Dwarka where there was 16,108 palaces. And each queen had her own, not just a room, each queen had her own palace. And in the evening, like during the day, one Krishna would be walking through Dwarka. And then Krishna would come to the gate where all his 16,108 palaces was. As soon as Krishna entered that gate, the one Krishna would become 16,108 Krishnas. And then each one would go to the wife and they would spend the evening time. Each queen, she didn't have to wait 16,000 nights to be with her husband. Every night, every queen had her husband. That's what we love about Krishna. Equal opportunity employer. So, they live nicely. And the thing is, anyone who knows anything about Krishna, he's a trickster. He likes to play jokes. And he likes to tease. So, Krishna regularly would do things to his wives just to make them angry at him. And they would get angry with him out of love and chastise him, and he would enjoy that. He would enjoy that because it would be chastisement out of love. But Rukmini had a certain temperament. She was always submissive. Always grave, serious. And no matter what Krishna did, she never got mad at Krishna. No matter what Krishna did, Rukmini would not get mad. Krishna would, I gotta do something. I wanna see her get agitated and chastise me. So one day Krishna is with Rukmini. She's fanning him. He's sitting on the royal bed. And Krishna starts to say, you know, Rukmini, you made a mistake. You should have never married me. After all, I'm not even a king. The king of Dwarka is my grandfather, Ugrasena. And when I lived in Vrindavan, I didn't own any cows. I don't have anything. Everybody thought that I would stay in Vrindavan and be with Radharani, but as you can see, I left. And Rukmini, I'm not a very good husband, as you see. I married 16,108 times. And she says to Rukmini, you know, you could have married Shishupal. He's a great king. You could have married so many great princes and kings. I'm a vagabond. So Krishna continues to denigrate himself and put himself down. And Rukmini is like, what's going on? Then Krishna says, the most astounding thing. Krishna says to Rukmini, it's not too late. Now keep in mind, she already has had her sons. Perhaps she's even had grandchildren. Krishna says, Rukmini, it's not too late. You can divorce me and still marry one of the kings and who will dote on you. He said, if Shishupal had married you, he would have been like a little puppy dog and followed you all around. So Krishna is telling her, it's not too late. So when Rukmini hears this, that Krishna is talking about divorce, the fan drops from her hand and she faints. Krishna realizes, uh-oh, that was not the intended, desired result I was looking for. He was thinking, like his other wives, they would get angry and chastise him. What is this nonsense you are talking? But no, Rukmini is submissive and gentle and always surrendered. So the thought of separation from Krishna simply devastated her. And the description is, she fell like a banana tree hit by a hurricane. She just fell. So Krishna immediately manifested a forearm form and picked up Rukmini in his arms. And he was straightening her hair and wiping away the perspiration. And he was saying, no, I was just joking. I wasn't serious. I wanted to see you get angry, but I see you're so submissive. You're so surrendered. You love me so much that the thought of separation was too much for you. So when Rukmini heard that he was only joking, everything is okay. Then, what does Rukmini do? Everything that Krishna had said about himself, she gave the exact understanding. Actually, everything Krishna said was true, but Rukmini gave it with the right explanation from transcendental vision and kept everything that Krishna said intact, but in the proper transcendental understanding, which actually all these things are actually great glorifications of Krishna. So after Rukmini gives the correct purport, then here is what Krishna says to Rukmini after this. So if you're ready to hear this, everybody sit properly and say, Hare Krishna. So, after hearing Rukmini's statement and her clarification of each and every word he had used to arouse her anger of love toward him, Krishna addressed Rukmini as follows. My dear chaste wife, my dear princess, I expected such an explanation from you, and only for this purpose did I speak all those joking words, so that you might be cheated of the real point of view. Now my purpose has been served. The wonderful explanation you have given to my every word is completely factual and approved by me. O most beautiful Rukmini, you are my most dear wife. Isn't that wonderful? Krishna knows how to take care of the situation. You are my dearmost wife. I am greatly pleased to understand how much love you have for me. Please take it for granted that no matter what ambition and desire you might have, and no matter what you might expect from me, I am always at your service. And it is a fact also that my devotees, my dearmost friends and servitors, are always free from material contamination, even though they are not inclined to ask such liberation from me. My devotees never desire anything from me except to be engaged in my service. So this is a central teaching of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. We follow Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who taught pure bhakti, pure devotional service. So this is a key line. I'll repeat it. My devotees never desire anything from me except to be engaged in my service. That is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada's explanation of the Hare Krishna mantra is that, O energy of God, O Radha, or in this case, Rukmini, O Krishna, O Dwarakadish, please engage me in your service. That is real desirelessness, not otherwise. And yet, because they are completely dependent upon me, even if they are found to ask something from me, that is not material. Such ambitions and desires, instead of becoming the cause of material bondage, become the source of liberation from this material world. My dear chaste and pious wife, I have tested, on the basis of strict chastity, your love for your husband, and you have passed the examination most successfully. I have purposely agitated you by speaking many words not applicable to your character, but I am surprised to see that not a pinch of your devotion to me has been deviated from its fixed position. My dear wife, I am the bestower of all benedictions, even up to the standard of liberation from this material world. It is I only who can stop the continuation of material existence and call one back home, back to God. That's another important item. Nobody can give liberation. Krishna is saying here, I am the only one who can stop the continuation of material existence. One whose devotion, and here is going to be some harsh words for us, not for Rukmini. But depending on where we are at in our development, we might find these words of Krishna strong, but just listen. One whose devotion for me is adulterated worships me for some material benefit just to keep oneself in the world of material happiness, culminating in the pleasure of sex life. One who engages in severe penance and austerities just to attain this material happiness is certainly under the illusion of my external energy. Persons who are engaged in my devotional service simply for the purpose of material gain and sense gratification are certainly very foolish. For material happiness based on sex life is available in the most abominable species of life, such as the hogs and dogs. No one should try to approach me for such happiness, which is available even if one is put into a hellish condition of life. It is better, therefore, for persons who are simply after material happiness and not after me to remain in that hellish condition. My dear best of queens, I clearly understand that you have no material ambition. Your only purpose is to serve me. You have long been engaged in unalloyed service. Exemplary unalloyed devotional service not only can bestow upon the devotee liberation from this material world, but it also promotes one to the spiritual world, to be eternally engaged in my service. Persons too addicted to material happiness cannot render such service. Women whose hearts are polluted and full of material desires devise various means of sense gratification while outwardly showing themselves to be great devotees. My dear honored wife, although I have thousands of wives, I do not think that any one of them can love me more than you. The practical proof of your extraordinary position is that you had never seen me before our marriage. You simply heard about me from a third person. And still, your faith in me was so fixed that even in the presence of many qualified, rich, and beautiful men of the royal order, you did not select any one of them as your husband, but insisted on having me. You neglected all the princes present, and very politely you sent me a confidential letter inviting me to kidnap you. While I was kidnapping you, your elder brother Rukmi violently protested and fought with me. As a result of the fight, I defeated him mercilessly and disfigured his body. Then later, at the time of Aniruddha's marriage, when we were all playing chess, there was another fight with your brother Rukmi on a controversial verbal point, and my elder brother Balaram finally killed him. But I was surprised to see that you did not utter even a word of protest over this incident. Because of your great anxiety that you might be separated from me, you suffered all the consequences without speaking even a word. As the result of this great silence, my dear wife, you have purchased me for all time. I have come eternally under your control. You sent your messenger inviting me to kidnap you, and when you found that there was a little delay in my arriving at the spot, you saw the whole world as vacant. At that time you concluded that your beautiful body was not fit to be touched by anyone else. Therefore, thinking that I was not coming, you decided to commit suicide and immediately end that body. My dear Rukmini, such great and exalted love for me will always remain within my soul. As far as I am concerned, it is not within my power to repay you for your unalloyed devotion to me. Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadi Shaki. So Madhavish Prabhu mentioned that very soon we're having the Prabhupada festival. And for me, among the innumerable things that we should be grateful to Prabhupada, one of the big ones is these books that he has given us. Having not been brought up in Indian or Hindu culture, brought up here in America, the only way I have any access to Krishna Rukmini is all because of Srila Prabhupada. Nobody else. I owe Srila Prabhupada my life. At the age of 23, I decided, let me give this one life to Krishna and Prabhupada. And that was the best decision I ever made in my life. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we are all here together. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we have this wonderful temple. This temple should be here for the next 10,000 years. Hollywood, Los Angeles can go to hell. But there must be this temple. And the only way this temple can exist is if we keep Prabhupada in the center and we can